Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good being here with you all. I have been richly inspired already this morning. I've actually been struggling a little bit with what I have to share today. I felt like it's something you already know. But as you, brother, shared this morning, it felt like each one of you has seen my notes and picked out a portion that you shared about. And I was inspired. And so I trust we can be inspired as well as we continue to listen to what the Lord has motivated me to share about. Could we all rise, whoever can, and have a word of prayer before we begin? Father in heaven, we come here before you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for being here. God, we sense your presence. And thank you for your word already this morning, God. We could be inspired. We could be encouraged. And we could be admonished. And Lord, just we ask that you would continue to speak to us. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our needs, each one of us. And we just ask that you would be faithful, Lord, and ministering to each soul here this morning, Father. We give all our glory to you, Lord. Just pray that our lives could be a vessel in your hand for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I would like to, thinking about Stephen's timeline that he had up there, I would like to take you back at a time in history of about 2348 BC. I don't know if there's any of you in their minds of thinking, maybe you already know what I'd like to talk about. And it can vary. This different writers have different ideas, but approximately that around that time. And one thing I would like for us to remember this morning, as I sat here numerous times and listening to Stephen, as they talked about the different ages of times, he reminded the pupils, you know, it's so easy for us to read, yeah, it happened, but he would remind them that these were real people, just like you and I today, and they faced the same things that we faced. They were no different. And sometimes we read of these patriarchs and we think somehow they were somebody different, but they were people just like you and I. You could open with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to read from verse 1 down through 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I'm going to stop there. Verse 7 is sort of where I'd like to bring my message out this morning. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And we know that we heard this morning about the coming judgment, that God came to Noah and he said that the violence and wickedness of men are evil continuously. And he said, I am going to send a flood to destroy everything upon the face of this earth. But I want you to build an ark for you and your family as an ark of safety for you to go in. And if we would continue the timeline, today we're 2025, but if we continue to another, if the Lord tarries, say, year 3000, and history would continue to be written, would our generations look back and they would be reading in the, and they would say that by faith, Dan, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. By faith, Owen. By faith, John. We could go down the list. Every one of us. I believe that is God's heart for us. That we were preparing an ark of safety. We have been warned just as Noah has been warned. In Luke 17:26, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And then it says, even thus shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. And I would like to, I guess, this be as encouragement to us as husbands, fathers in the home, to us as mothers in the home, that we would prepare an ark of safety, except the fact that our ark is not a big boat. Our ark is Christ. And just as Noah entered into the ark, so must all of us and our families enter into Christ to be saved from the coming condemnation. And I thought about, there are so many types and shadows as we think of Noah and the ark. When we think of, so there's a salvation message, and I thought about going, I'm not going to go in there, but there are so many things we could look at in the same manner of the ark being Christ and the different things that it speaks of. But it talks about Noah. I guess three things that I would like to bring out of this verse this morning that I would like to talk about. And that is faith, the fear of God, and obedience. It says, by faith, Noah being warned of God. It says, by faith, that's the first principle. And then it says, being warned of God, moved with fear. I thought about Simon coming up here this morning. I don't think Simon would have done that if he wouldn't have the fear of God. We live in a generation in the world who lacks the fear of God. I believe when we fear God, it will move us that when we do wrong, to make things right. Maybe I'm coming a little bit ahead of myself, but it talked about Noah. It said Noah was a just man, perfect in all his generations, and he walked with God. How do we become just before an almighty God? Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, for therein is Christ, therefore being justified by faith. Actually, that's Romans 5:1. And Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The therein is in Christ. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We see that in Noah's life that nothing is held up before us as an example but that which grew out of his faith. First, he believed, and that, I believe, guided him all through life because of what he believed in God. And it had, Noah said, Noah had this testimony that he walked with God. In the same way for us, if we want to prepare an ark of safety for our family, we need to have this testimony as well. in everything that we do. It impacts all of our lives. It impacts how we do business. It impacts in everything we do, our walk of faith. And we are called to please God in all manner of conversation. And we can't do it unless we walk by faith. In fact, just as it says before in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. People who don't believe in God have no part in the kingdom of God. It's that clear. But we must believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is faith? Thank you for sharing, Brother Jeremy, talking about faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the assurance. It is the confidence of things hoped for. It is not a blind belief, but a confident trust in the promises of God. We have something to base our faith upon. It's not just this gushy feeling that, well, I'll do my best and then hopefully maybe God will somehow. No, it is a confidence that we have that is based upon the promises of God. They may not be visible. It says faith operates in the realms of things not seen. So even though they're not visible, maybe we don't even understand everything. But it's a certainty that God is going to fulfill what he has promised. And that's what Noah believed. Or else he would have never built the ark. If we go on down Hebrews 11, thinking about Moses, when he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be the call of the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, how? Seeing him who is invisible. And if we want to endure in our in generation, we must believe in things that we can't see with our physical eyes. But I believe we can see them through the eyes of faith. I think of the story of Elisha as the Syrian army was wanting to capture and kill the Israelites. And it seemed like every time they came up with a plan, they were in a certain place, they were waiting for the Israelites. They found out where they were and erupted their plan. And the king of Syria was getting upset. He said, somebody here is leaking our information that were our plans. And they said, no, it's Elisha. It's the man of God. He is telling them our plans. And so they decided to capture him. And they had the city surrounded. And Elisha's servant was afraid. He said, alas, master, what are we going to do? It was surrounded with horses and chariots. And Elisha said, in my own words, he said, don't worry. There are more with us than there are with them. And he prayed that God would open up the eyes of the servant. And he says, behold, the hills were full of horses and chariots. It was a spiritual realm that his servant could not see, but Elisha knew they were there. He saw them through the eyes of faith. And I think of a story that somebody I know shared with me one time. He said he was going down the highway and he noticed this hitchhiker was wanting a ride and he was by himself. And he stopped and he picked him up. And he said, as he was crawling in, he noticed it looked like a pretty rough man. And they kept going down the road. And he said, all at once, this guy looked at me and he said, aren't you afraid of me? And he said, no, I'm not. He said, if you could see all the holy angels that are surrounded by this car, you would realize why I'm not afraid. He believed in a God who is able to protect him. And we know that protection, sometimes it happens where they're not protected, but we still know that God is in control and he is there. We see the invisible with our eyes of faith. And this was the faith that Noah had. Many people like to believe in the promises of God. But if we want to believe in the promises of God, we also need to believe in the warnings of God. We think about Noah. If he wouldn't have been warned and he wouldn't have believed the warnings, neither would he have acted on his faith that God would save him if he would obey him. In other words, if we believe that God will cast unbelievers into hell, then we also believe that God will take the redeemed into heaven, because it's what his word says. If we doubt the word of God about one thing, how can we have confidence in another thing? If we sort through the word of God, we say, well, you know, I believe this is true, but I'm not sure if this is for our time. I'm not sure if I can believe this. What we're saying really is we believe our own judgment instead of believing the word of God. We can't sort through and say, well, I believe this, but this is not for me. The whole word of God is written for our inspiration, for admonition, for correction. And if we have faith in God about one thing, I think we need to have faith in God about the whole word of God. So how do we get faith? How do we get faith? And I thought about that as I thought about, I'm going to turn to Romans 10. Sometimes we think about the foolishness of preaching, as Paul calls it. And we think, well, everybody knows everything I'm going to share about anyway. And we come together and brothers share and we go home inspired, encouraged. I think one thing we forget, but that's the word of God is new every morning. But also, it says in Romans 10, starting in verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we continue to think of our home where we continue to teach our children about the ways of God, yielding as we hurt our members as instruments unto God. And in our teaching, somewhere faith is latched onto sometime in their life. I wonder if sometimes we realize how young children, how much they can grasp at a young age and the impact that it has on their lives. When they are taught about the ways of God, even in the womb, I think there's a lot of things they can latch on to. Does their mom have peace? I think there's so much that they can experience even before they're born. Faith. I would like to look at the next, where it says that Noah moved with fear. And I looked up the Greek word, moved with fear. It says to be circumspect, to be apprehensive, religiously to reverence. Faith was the living principle, but fear was the motivating, what moved him. It says he moved with fear. Now, there are a few different, or at least two different kinds of fear. Maybe there's more, but the fear that talks about Noah moved with fear is not the fear that where it says that perfect love casts out fear. It's not that kind of fear. But it's a godly fear that perfect love nourishes and embraces. The fear of God. We can see here that Noah's trust was not in himself, but it was the fear of God that moved him to prepare to hew out timbers to make room for all the animals in the ark, to pitch within and without, to do everything that God commanded him to do. It was because of the fear of God in his life. And we have different examples in the Bible. Think of Abraham. It says it was said of Abraham that he surpassed his sojourning here in fear. Think about the midwives in Moses' time where the king set to kill every man child alive because he had fear, not a godly fear, but a worldly fear that there was a king coming that was going to overthrow his kingdom. And he commanded the midwives to kill every man child alive. But Exodus says in 1:17, but the midwives feared God. Beautiful picture. They feared God more than the commandment of the king. It says, and they feared God and did not as the king commanded, but saved the men children alive. It is the fear of God that will move us to do the things that God would have us to do. It was said of Job that he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And we think of Joseph, how his brothers had treated him. They threw him in a pit. They got him back out. They sold him to the Midianites that were going towards Egypt. We know the story well, how Joseph was sold to a Pharaoh to work for him and to clean his house. And then we know about Pharaoh's wife, who tried to get him to lie with him. And Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I believe it was a fear. He had a healthy fear of God that kept him from doing what the master's wife wanted him to do. But then if we could picture his brothers coming back after the famine for corn, and we see them all down there kneeling, no idea that this is their brother that they had treated so despitefully. And it would have been in Joseph's power to do probably whatever he would have wanted to do with them. This was his time to seek revenge. But what did Joseph say? Genesis 42, 18 to 20. Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring the youngest brother to me so that your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Joseph had a healthy fear of God. He did not seek revenge. He wanted what was the best for the brothers. But he did try them to see if they are changed people. These are our examples, and we are called to do the same. Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Reverence and godly fear. This is what we are called to. 1 Peter 1:17, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges every man's work past the time of your sojourning here in fear. For we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, if we think about that, brothers, we cannot save ourselves from the judgment to come. And here, God provided a plan of redemption for us. Why should we not fear him? Amen? And obey everything that he has commanded us to do. I have written down here, when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, our decisions, our ability, our power, our influence, our intellect, our position, we hinder the fear of God. Psalms 110 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. The right fear of God will produce humility. God dwells with those of a humble heart. And I would like to look at a few verses thinking about what is the fear of the Lord. And then also look at how can we get more of the fear of the Lord. I believe we lack in our country a lack of the fear of God. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is what? It's to hate evil. The fear of the Lord and evil do not mix. It says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride, to hate arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, but by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And then 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having these precious promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And when I think of the holiness of God, the sovereignty of God, and the judgment to come, I desire to have more of the fear of God in my life. I think it is very, very healthy. And as I've been thinking about that, I believe the fear of God affects in the places I go or don't go. It affects in the things I do or don't do. I believe it affects how earnestly I teach. Owen talked about mothers. I believe it affects in how earnestly we teach our children about the ways of God when we have a healthy fear of God. It will affect me in my thought life. It will affect me when I use the internet. The fear of God. It will affect me in how I relate to my brothers in church. And it will move me to confess when I wrong someone, just as we heard this morning. It's the fear of God. And I guess I just desire to have more of the fear of God in my life. I think it's a healthy thing to have. But I've been thinking, how do we get the fear of God? How can I have more of the fear of God in my life? Not just in our lives, but as we look out in a world that is, could we say, living for self in an evil world, is there something we could do that they could get the fear of God in their lives? Turn with me to Deuteronomy 31. I would like to read a couple of verses there. Verse 1 through 12. It says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. Thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sion and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto the fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant, the covenant of the Lord, unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, which that thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. It seems there is a connection that when we preach the word of God, when we share with people the word of God, and they hear the word of God, and they learn that the fear of God will come into their lives. And I don't know, it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness, 120 years, and yet it was just his family that was saved. But that shouldn't hinder us from witnessing for Christ. I think we are called to do that. And may as we go, may as we plant the seed, may the fear of God come upon the lives of people that hear the word of God. There's another verse I'd like to read. Thinking about ourselves. In Proverbs 2, 1 to 6. How can I have more of the fear of God? Proverbs 2, starting in verse 1, it says, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. There's different things we need, asking us to follow him. Number one is to receive the word of God and to hide his commandments with us. Then it says, So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. I think it was Reuben that shared about this. Forget the name. One who didn't believe. He confessed that he not believing the word of God, and he read the word of God, but it was always to contradict people that believed the word of God. But when he decided to apply his heart to understand why the Christians believe the Bible, he got converted. Right? That was you. So he says, "Apply thine heart to understanding." Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures. Now this sounds like somebody that is giving everything he has to find this treasure that he's looking for. And then it says, then shalt thy heart understand the fear of the Lord. And so, as I thought about that, it's like, there's my answer. If I want more of the fear of God, seek the word of God. Apply my heart unto understanding what God is trying to tell me. And the fear of God will come. I want that to be my testimony. And as I think about that, I think about preparing an ark of safety as parents in the home. A thought of Deuteronomy 6, and a verse that we all know so well. But I would just like to read a couple of verses there. Maybe starting in verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It seems like, I think I could probably know that every one of you, sometimes in child training, in teaching, sometimes there's a weariness that comes with that. I mean, he's saying, it sounds here like he's not, there's no dull moment, right? When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. It's like we're continually teaching and teaching. But I want to encourage us, let us not be weary with well-doing. The Bible promises, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I remember looking back, some of our older children, teaching them at times, and we think, when are they ever going to, like, latch a hold? And all at once, you see a spark. It's like, ah, I think they're getting it. I think they're getting it. Let us not be weary with well-doing. Let us continue on. I heard a story one time of this man that had one, I don't know, was it a son or daughter? But he started thinking about the future of this child. And he decided to ask a pastor, when should he start teaching his child about God? And the pastor asked him, how old is he or she? I forget what it was, a boy or a girl. But he said, 7 years old. And the pastor said, you have missed the best 7 years. I wonder sometimes if we realize how much these little minds can grasp and what we can plan in them. I think it's powerful. Do we take the time to teach them valuable lessons as we're instructed? And I believe Noah taught his children, not just with words, but also with his life, a godly fear that enabled them to enter into the ark of safety. And I'd like to look at my last point of obedience. You know, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house. It says, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Obedience is the gracious fruit. Faith and fear together led Noah to do as God commanded him. When fear is grafted upon faith, it bringeth forth good fruit, obedience. And sometimes we sing the children's song, obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key to obedience. Action is the key to obedience. Is it things you will believe? Forget for sure how it goes in, but this is, obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. How important is obedience? Just sometimes or most times, or how important it really is it? I have a question for you children this morning. In Colossians 2, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So how often should you obey your parents? Sometimes, most of the time, or always? Always. It says in all things, right? And the same way is when God says something to us. We should always, always obey the word of God. What effect does it have when we don't obey God? I'd like to look at just a few examples quickly. We think of Eve, who took of the forbidden fruit. Somehow, evidently, I don't know, did she think that tasting that fruit was just a little bit more important than doing what God commanded? And they had to find another place to live. Think about Lot's wife. As they were leaving Sodom, God warned them 4 words. Look not behind thee. How important was that? Evidently, she thought maybe looking back, one more glimpse was somehow maybe a little bit more important than obeying God. And she stood standing as a pillar of salt. Jonah, somehow he convinced him that running away from God, somehow he would, maybe that was, would do his life better than just obeying what God told him to do. We think of Achan, who, when they went to war, God told them to destroy everything and not keep everything for themselves. But when he seen that garment, I think there was a few things. Somehow, that just meant more to him than obeying the word of God. And it cost his life and his family's life. We think of Ananias and Sapphira. Somehow they thought pretending, instead of being honest, somehow maybe it would do their life better. And they both lost their lives. We heard this morning, I think Levi shared, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And this is the testimony of Noah. In Genesis 6:22, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him to do. All means, that's the totality, it means everything. Everything that God commanded him, Noah obeyed. The same in Genesis 7:5, it says, and Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now, I don't know, it doesn't say in the Bible, but as Stephen had reminded the children that back in Noah's time, it was real life, just as we face life today. And I can't help but think that sometimes maybe his sons or maybe dad, do you really think, I mean, why just one door? I mean, this thing is 200, make a lot easier to have three doors along the front, three doors along the back. What? Why just one? It's going to be dark in it. One window? Dad, are you sure? But Noah, he said, it says he obeyed all that God commanded him to do. How important is obedience? You know, it says that Noah just simply took God at his word, and he obeyed him. It's just, do we have such a trust and confidence in our God and our Lord that we are moved to do the same? You know, Noah and his family, at the end of building the ark, God invited them into the ark, and Noah took his whole family inside, and they were saved from the judgment, from the wrath, from the flood that God sent. And lastly, the results did not fail to come. The flood came and destroyed everything except Noah and his family and everything that was in the ark. Now, brothers and sisters, God's warnings and his second coming will not fail either. Jesus will return for his bride. Will we be found ready and waiting as Jesus promised that he will come again? I would like to close with one last verse, or a couple of verses in Hebrews 10. Starting in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. God is going to be faithful. He is going to keep his promise. Let us hold fast to our profession of faith. Let us consider one another and provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Can we, as we continue in life, encourage each other to remain steadfast, immovable in the work of the Lord, and that we continue to labor in God's vineyard? Therefore, let us walk in faith, fear God, and keep his commandments. Lord bless you all.